You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word.
Jezebel's time has come. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and today in our study of 2 Kings, there's a new king in town, and he's ready to pay a deadly visit to the evil queen. But before we get to the details of her demise and other sordid escapades in the life of King Jehu, let's take a few minutes and catch up with Through the Bible's president and my friend, Greg Harris.
Thank you, Steve. It's good to be here, and we're excited to talk about something new today.
Yes. Once again, everything is new.
Everything is new, but it's actually taking advantage of a very old dynamic that exists in Through the Bible, which is our listeners have always been great at inviting other people to listen to Through the Bible. In fact, on our World Prayer Team email a few weeks ago, we had a lady in Hong Kong who said she went to church and was telling a friend, I don't know how to read and understand the Bible. And in Hong Kong, she said, listen to the Cantonese version of Through the Bible. So this happens all over the world. But today, we want to assist you in inviting other people to engage with Dr. McGee's wonderful teaching through what we call a
Bible bus pass.
Yes, you picked that up beautifully.
Yes, and it's really cool because we're actually sending out three in a series, and that's all that we're going to have. But the first one focuses on, if you ever talked to someone and said, hey, you got to listen to Dr. McGee, well, you now have a bus pass that you can hand them that says listen on there.
Right.
QR code in the back, they scan it with their phone, and then downloads an app, and they're good to go.
Yeah. If you're on our mailing list, you will already have received three. The first one is how you can listen, takes you to our listen page. The second one is how you can read, which is all of the 100-plus booklets of Dr. McGee and the Bible Companions, which I know you like the Bible Companions.
We've started using that in our small group.
Yes.
We're going through the Book of Acts with the Bible Companion. I'd highly recommend it.
Awesome. Awesome. Follow Steve's lead in that. And then the third way is to share the gospel. So if you're talking to somebody, like sometimes I'm on an airplane and you're trying to talk, it's hard to talk on an airplane, and they express some interest in the gospel, maybe you're not in a position to give them the whole gospel. Say, here's a card. If you scan this with your phone on your camera, it'll take you to a website that will tell you how you can know God. So these are wonderful. So you have listen, read, and share. And if you want these, if you're not on our mailing list and you didn't get them in your newsletter, which is a good reason to be on the mailing list.
Yes, it is.
There's so many great things that come in the mail, and we never ask anybody for money, so it's never an appeal for money. It's just resources. You can always call 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we will give you, send you a pack of 10 in any combination of the three. So we're happy to deliver that to you at no charge.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this because so many of the people that listen to the program love the program, want to share it with friends, and you talk about, especially if you're in a Bible study, well, I heard Dr. McGee say this or whatever, and people, it kind of piques their interest. And if you had something to hand to them that they could then go off and download it, I think a lot more people are going to be introduced to the ministry of Through the Bible because of this program.
Yes, absolutely. We're excited about what God will do.
Yep, absolutely. Greg, why don't you pray for us as we begin our study?
Father, we're just so grateful that we have this amazing listening family that wants to spread your word, wants to invite people to hear the gospel, to read Bible studies, and to hear Dr. McGee's teaching. We just pray that you will use these efforts of ours to reach more people for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, we come to this ninth chapter of 2 Kings, and we find here where we left off last time, and we need to keep that in mind, that Ahaziah, the king of Judah, went up to visit Jehoram at Jezreel because Jehoram had been wounded in battle, and he was up there recovering, and apparently was a very sick man. Now, chapter 9 opens with verse 1 now, and Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins, and take this box of oil in thine hand, and go to Ramoth-Gilead, and when thou comest thither, look out there Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him rise up from among his brethren and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil, pour it on his head, and say, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead. Now he did this thing that Elisha had commanded him to do. And you'll notice Elisha's not spectacular in what he does. You would think to anoint a king, he would not have sent a young prophet. He would have done it himself. Samuel, you remember, came and anointed David. He had also anointed Saul. Now you would think that Elisha would want to be the one to anoint the king, but he didn't. The thing that he did was to send this young prophet up, and this young prophet anointed Jehu the king, and he did it secretly and privately. Now, there may be a good explanation for it, and I think that probably had Elisha gone up, they would have suspected something. But when just one of these unknown young men went up, why, no one suspected what really he'd come to do. And so Jehu is anointed king, and here is one of the bloodiest rascals that we'll meet on the page of Scripture. And yet he did the will of God in many respects. Now, verse 8, For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab every male member, and none will be left in Israel. And I'll make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And then, verse 10, And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her. And he opened the door and fled. Now, this is repeating the thing that Elijah had said would happen to the house of Ahab and to Jezebel. Now, notice the executioner for this is this man Jehu. And we're told, verse 11, And Jehu came forth to the servants of his Lord, and one said unto him, Is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, Ye know the man and his communication. And they said, It's false. Tell us now. And he said, Thus and thus spake he to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Well, believe me, that put them all in a flurry, and they began to move about, and they blew the trumpets and said, Jehu is king. But you see, Jehoram is up there sick, and Ahaziah has gone up to visit him. And what is going to happen in Jezreel now? Well, this is the thing that he's going to do. He goes up to Jezreel, and he had actually sent up first those to spy out the land. And they came back and reported, these men are discovered now. Jehu is coming up to visit him. And the king asked the question, Is it peace? And Jehu said, What hast thou to do with peace? Turn thee behind me. And the watchman told, saying, The messenger came to them, but he cometh not again. The messengers that were sent out to meet Jehu never came back to report to the king. Why? Because Jehu is coming up to exterminate this king, and also he killed Ahaziah, and he destroyed him also. So Ahaziah is slain. We're told that verse 27, not only was Jehoram slain, but when Ahaziah the king of Judah saw this, he fled by the way of the garden house, and Jehu followed after him and said, Smite him also in the chariot. And they did so at the going up to Gur, which is by Iblim, and he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servants carried him in a chariot to Jerusalem, buried him in the sepulchre with his fathers in the city of David. And he was keeping bad company, by the way, of the house of Ahab, and he was in a pretty bad spot. And so when Jehu came up to do this, why, he destroys him. Now you come to that which is indeed frightening, and it is the slaying of Jezebel. But this woman had been a bloody, mean woman. I'm going to read verse 30. When Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. She painted her face, tired her head, and looked out at the window. All right, now let's take a look at this, because this is something that reveals what a terrible person she was. She was a member, actually, of a royal family, and she apparently had been one of the most beautiful women of her day and of all history. I think that Jezebel, as a young woman, would compare with Helen of Troy. with Cleopatra, Salome, and Catherine de' Medici. And when Ahab and Jezebel married, it was the society event of the year. The best people of the two kingdoms were there, and there was a surplus of royalty. It was respectable and dignified, and not even an Elijah could find fault. The common people of both realms celebrated. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and it should be added also that the demons of hell joined the festivities, and they laughed with glee, and the devil was glad, because crape was on the gate of heaven, and angels wept. Instead of wedding bells, it was a funeral dirge. And that's heaven's view, I think, and the world's view that's always in conflict and would be of this world today. Why is the world optimistic and heaven pessimistic? Well, God looks on the heart, and man only has a short view. Jezebel is one, I think, of the most remarkable women in history. She was capable, she was influential, and a dominant personality, and apparently cold as a fish and probably sexless, but beautiful. Her evil influence was felt in three kingdoms and extended beyond her lifetime. Her notorious life became a proverb. She poured a stream of poison into the stream of history, and Scripture never mentions her again until you come to the end of the Bible. Her name is suggestive. It means unmarried, chaste. And you have here a veiled suggestion of an abnormality and a perversion. She was feminine with a masculine touch, seductive and alluring. Hollywood brazenly calls it sex appeal. She was the Brigitte Bardot of her day. Strong men yielded to her seductive charm. No one resisted her, not even Ahab. She dominated him and ruled the northern kingdom. She introduced the worship of Baal. She imported 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Astarte. She was reckless, violent, and rapacious and ferocious. She killed God's prophets. God's people went underground. She engineered a marriage of her daughter to the house of David. And the very interesting thing is that this woman now thinks that the end has come. During her long reign as the consort of Ahab, no person dared to oppose her, and her will was supreme. There is one exception, that was Elijah, and she almost exterminated all the prophets. She is the Clytemnestra of Greek tragedy. She is the Lady Macbeth of Shakespeare. Her crimes were many. Blood flowed freely from her influence. None resisted. It seemed as if God was in hiding and doing nothing. Then she committed her crowning crime. She slew Naboth, that Ahab might possess the vineyard. It was high-handed, cold-blooded murder, and a dastardly deed, and heaven could no longer remain silent. God's patience was exhausted, and he sent Elijah, and the day came now for the reckoning of it all. First it was Ahab, died just as the prophet said he would, and the dogs licked up his blood. Now, the thing's going to happen to this woman, that she'll be trodden underfoot and the dogs will eat her, and she'll not even have a decent burial. 14 years elapsed after the death of Ahab. Jezebel did not believe God's word would ever be fulfilled. She was unmoved. She defied God. She stayed on in Jezreel. And perhaps the death of Ahab was just a coincidence. Jezebel could get by. Nothing could happen to her. But you know, there's a law of God written in neon lights in every sphere in the crosswords of the world. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And with what measure ye meet, it'll be measured unto you, the Lord Jesus said. Now, did Jezebel get by with it? I turn now to the most sordid and sadistic chapter in history. It's gruesome, it's ghastly, and it's a gory sight, and added to that, it's grisly. It's revolting and repulsive here on the page of Scripture. Jezebel is the queen mother. She's living in luxury in the palace of Jezreel, and the terrible prophecy of that horrible man, Elijah, has not been fulfilled. Out of the north came a swift chariot. Jehu was driving furiously. He slew two kings, the king of Israel and the king of Judah. Jezebel saw her own son brutally slain before her, and she put on sackcloth and ashes. Now, what does she do? Well, she painted her face, she tired her head, she looked out a window. This proud queen still thought she could seduce her captor and captivate him with her charms. But she's got a grandson, 23 years old. She's no longer young. She's an old woman now. And Revlon and Helen Curtis and Max Factor combined couldn't help her at all. They had no secret formulas for lotions, powders, sprays, and creams to make this faded queen look attractive. She looks out from the window, and she uses flattery. Notice verse 31, and as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, had Zimri peace, who slew his master? She says, can't we get together and talk this over? Come up and see me sometimes. That's what she's saying. And notice this man. He lifted up his face to the wind and said, who's on my side? Who? There looked out to him two or three eunuchs. And he said, throw her down. So they threw her down. Some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall and on the horses, and he trod her underfoot. He was unmoved, untouched. He was without pity and without mercy. And notice this. She does not awe Jehu. She has no appeal for him. He does not even respect her. He said, throw her down. They threw her down. She bounced like a rubber ball and broke open like a ripe watermelon. This is the most frightful, terrible, and vivid picture in all the annals of tragedy. Hammond says history presents no parallel to such an indignity. It's truly unprecedented. A queen mother should be treated with respect. Now notice, verse 34, when he was come in, he did eat and drink and said, go see now this cursed woman and bury her, for she is a king's daughter. How could he enjoy a hearty meal after he had done this awful thing? Frankly, he's a fiend in human form. He's a rough soldier. No courtesy, no chivalry, just crude ambition. Not shrink from any crime. He's depraved and degraded, and it's briefly related in the remainder of the story. He sends them out to bury her, but the dogs had already eaten her. They found only the skull and the palm of her hands, and the dogs had had a big gourmet meal also. My friend, there's no laughter in heaven because of this, and there's no mourning either. The seraphim are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts, and the angels proclaim, just and righteous, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her, and a holy God is vindicated. And the psalmist had said, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, and it's fulfilled. God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And now judgment has come upon the house of Ahab. And that's not all. We find now in chapter 10 that the judgment is still falling fast. The house of Ahab is exterminating by the slaying of his 70 sons. Jehu slays what remain. And may I say, he also kills the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah. He's a mean rascal, and that's exactly what he is. But I want you to notice what is said here. I begin reading at verse 1. Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria. Jehu wrote letters and sent to Samaria unto the rulers of Jezreel, to the elders and to them that brought up Ahab's children, saying, now as soon as this letter come to you, seeing your master's sons are with you, and there are with you chariots and horses, a fenced city also in armor, look even out of the best, and meetest of your master's son, and set him on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house. Now he pretends as if he is going to support the house of Ahab. And what did he do? Well, he didn't do that. We're told in verse 11, so Jehu slew all that remained of the house of Ahab in Jezreel, all his great men, his kinfolks, his priests, and he left him none remaining. And he arose and departed and came to Samaria, and as he was at the shearing house in the way, Jehu met with the brethren of Ahaziah, king of Judah, and said, Who are ye? And they answered, We are the brethren of Ahaziah, and we go down to salute the children of the king and the children of the queen. And he said, Take them alive. They took them alive and slew them at the pit of the shearing house, even 42 men, neither left he any of them. But one of them was spared, by the way, and it was a descendant of the house of Saul. We're told when he was departed thence, he lighted on Jehonadab. And by the way, Jeremiah calls him Jonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he saluted him and said to him, Is thine heart right, as my heart is with thy heart? That is, are you a friend or foe? And Jehonadab answered, It is, that is, if it be, give me thine hand. He gave him his hand, took him up in his chariot. Now we are told in verse 18, Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto them, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. And therefore call unto me all the prophets of Baal. Now he brings together all the prophets of Baal under this false statement, because he didn't intend to worship Baal. And when all the prophets came together, he slew them. And we are told, though, that he didn't turn to God. He slew the prophets of Baal, but he didn't turn to the prophet of God. Verse 29, Howbeit, from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed not from after them, to wit, the golden calves that were in Bethel, that were in Dan. He went back to the calf worship that Jeroboam had established. Not the worship of Baal now and the gods of the Sidonians, but now actually the calf worship that apparently had come out of the land of Egypt. In other words, he did not turn to the Lord. But notice how just God is and righteous in these matters. The Lord said unto Jehu, Because thou hast done well in executing that which is right in mine eyes, and hast done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in mine heart, thy children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel. In other words, God took note of the fact that he had eliminated the house of Ahab, although it was done in a very brutal and terrible way. Somebody says, Can you condone this? Well, of course. God makes the wrath of man to praise him, friends. We need to recognize today that our God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. Now, verse 32, In those days the Lord began to cut Israel short, and Hazael smote them in all the coasts of Israel. Now, what is happening here? Well, the thing that is happening is that the northern kingdom is getting ready to go into captivity. It's declined from now on, and there will be this decline. It will ultimately end in disaster and carried away into captivity in Assyria. Now, it is true that Jehu had eliminated all of the line of Ahab in the northern kingdom. But you see, Athaliah, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, had married into the line of the king of Judah in David's line. And she is going to perform a very bloody, terrible thing. In fact, it's an amazing thing. It's one that seems unbelievable. But my friend, this is what happens when people depart from God. We think today we're very civilized. We talk a great deal about peace, and we have carried on, beginning with World War II down to the present, one of the bloodiest wars the world has ever seen. We talk about how civilized we are, and yet it is safer in the jungles of Africa and South America than it is on the streets of the cities of this country of ours. My friend, may I say to you today that a gross departure from God has brought upon us all of our troubles. We're going to have to leave off right there, but next time we pick up at chapter 11. So until next time, may God richly bless you.
Are you enjoying these messages in 2 Kings? Well, you can listen again or share them with a friend anytime for free at ttb.org, or share a Bible bus pass with them as well. And if you need to get in touch with us, you can give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE anytime. Well, if you thought we were through with Ahab and Jezebel, next time you'll be in for a surprise. Join us as the Bible Bus continues our journey through 2 Kings here on Through the Bible.
Jesus made it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible is a 5-year study of God's entire Word, and together we discover God's purposes in history and our lives, found only when we believe in Jesus Christ. Do you know him yet?
You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM. You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am Minister Gloria Ross, and thank you for tuning in to the broadcast of New Life Assembly of God. Our address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our telephone number where you can reach us is 321-255-6999. Our service time starts at 11 o'clock a.m. every Sunday. Come and be blessed. Now stay tuned to the broadcast.
Well, praise the Lord out there in Radio Land. I want to speak to you today concerning the importance of faith. Many of us, we have a tendency of forgetting that faith is so important in our lives as a child of God, and even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. So what we want to do today, by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we want to look at the importance of faith, because faith is extremely important. You cannot get saved without faith. So it's something that we need to take notice of. We that are born again, as well as those that have a desire to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So first, we're going to start out with Romans the 1 and verse 17. And this is speaking to those that, matter of fact, let me make myself clear here today that Apostle Paul, in all of the epistles that was written, it was written to the church. So you may hear some verses of scripture that will coincide with who he's talking about, which is the church. And I'm not speaking about a building with a steeple on it. I'm talking about individuals that are born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb. So faith is important. We all must come to that understanding that faith is important to us all, whether we are born again or not, because you cannot come to the Lord except by faith, because none of us have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. At least I haven't, and I don't know, maybe some out there that have had a strong visitation from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But what I want to say today is that the importance of faith is what we want to talk about. So that's the subject. So if you're writing down what I'm talking about, and you take down these verses of scripture, because you can go back at your own leisure and look at what the Word of God is saying concerning faith. Romans 1 and verse 17 tells us that the just, now he's speaking to those that are justified, those that have been found not guilty and declared righteous. He's talking to me and everyone else out there in Radio Land that are born again. That's how important faith is. It is not something that we talk about, that we have. Faith, we must live what we're talking about. It is a lifestyle. I want to say that again. It is a lifestyle. That's what faith, glory to God, is so important in our lives. So Apostle Paul, he had said in the preceding verses in Romans 1 and verse 16, he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, first to the Jew and also the Greek." And we need to take notice that that's how important faith is. You can't get saved without faith, and we definitely can't be justified without faith. We cannot be declared righteous or found not guilty except by faith. And the whole idea is faith in what? A faith in who am I talking about? This faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That is our faith corral itself with the Lord Jesus Christ and only Christ. And many people today say, "Well, I have faith." Well, James said, "Well, show me your faith and I'll show you my works by my faith, because faith without works is dead. So faith is so important to us all as children of God, and even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, which would have a very good opportunity this day, at this hour, in this time here, to exercise their faith. Because if you cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him that you're tired, sick and tired of the way that you're living, if you don't know him, listen, God will save you. Praise God. So, Minister Glory, faith is so important, and a lot of us don't take notice of how important faith is.
Amen.
Now, in and also, the Word of God tells us that that faith, how faith comes, and it explains all of us concerning the ones that are born again. I don't want to kind of mix this up where you will leave hearing this broadcast not understanding what I'm saying. The importance of faith is for both of us, born again and the ones that are not born again, because you need, if you are not born again, the only way that you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ is by faith.
Amen.
So in Romans 1 and verse 17, Apostle Paul is talking to folks that are justified. And I want to make myself clear concerning that matter, that he is speaking to the church, those that are justified. Praise God. Now, in this next verse of scripture here that we're looking at, because I pray that those that have tuned into the broadcast, that they would make a documentation of what I'm saying, because it is not that I am trying to exhort myself in terms of how important faith is. We all know that faith is important. So let's look at what the Word of God says. And that way, let God speak to you. I believe, and therefore I speak. I said, I believe, and therefore I speak. So the Word of God is clear. Now, Minister Glory, mm-hmm. when we look at the next verse of Scripture here, how important faith is, because faith is coming to us in a manner in which we cannot do it on our own. There has to be the Word of God.
Yes.
Amen. Would you like to read that verse of Scripture there in Romans?
For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
So the just shall live by faith. Now, how does faith come? We just can't use the word faith, because faith comes in a manner in which you and I are able to receive it as a child of God. And even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, the word brings this faith. Praise God. That's why in Romans 10 and verse 17, glory to God.
So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God.
That's how faith comes. So if the word of God is not preached, and I'm standing telling you about my experiences and the things that I've gone through, which is a valid testimony, but it's not apropos at this particular time. What it is that I want to tell you how faith comes. And the scriptures are emphatically clear concerning how faith comes. So the importance of faith is that we just can't reach in the air and grab faith. And some folks talk about faith, but they're not exercising faith. They're not hearing faith. They're hearing a lot of experiences and different things. But the Bible tells us, the Bible faith tells us that faith cometh. That means that it's coming. It's not there if the Word of God is not present. So faith cometh by hearing. Now, this is what Apostle Paul was saying, anointed servant of God, that God gave him the abundance of revelation. So, therefore, I believe the Bible. I believe what Apostle Paul is saying, because Jesus gave him that revelation. So, it tells us that, so then faith cometh. If something is coming, that means that it's not there. It's not present there. And it's only present if the word is there. And the Bible tells us that faith cometh by hearing. Now, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I want to tell you something here. First of all, you are hearing with your natural eyes. I mean, correct you with your natural ears. And let me correct that. You're hearing with your natural ears. That's what's coming in. So faith comes. But then now, the inner ear has to hear what the outer ears have heard. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So therefore, faith, and we grab faith through our spiritual ears. The ears that are listening to what the word of God is saying to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you, faith is important to all of us. No matter where you are, we can't do anything without having the faith of God as a child of God. So I want to kind of bring this thing in the proper perspective that a person that is listening to this broadcast would not get confused in terms of what is being said. The epistles are written to the church. If you repent of your sins, I'm speaking to those that are without now. Listen to what I'm saying very carefully. Those that are without. If you repent of your sins and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for you and me on Calvary's cross, then you can be saved.
Amen.
Then you will have the faith to exercise to receive the things that God has appropriated for us all. Now, I need to say something here that we know that the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied the penalty of sin. He broke that power of sin on the cross of Calvary. He died for the sins of the whole world. But it takes faith. It takes faith. And it takes the understanding that not only what he has done, but I must receive what he has done. And he's done it all there on Calvary's cross. So faith is important to us all, whether we are born again or not. Because a lot of people say, well, I have faith to believe that I can sit in this chair and it won't fall down. Well, that's confidence. Faith is a person. Are you listening to what I'm saying out there? I said faith is a person. Because the word tells us that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He started in, and he's the developer. He's the one that will finish what we're talking about. So faith is important. Glory to God. Now, Minister Glory, when we look at other portions of Scripture that are concerning faith and how important it is, mm-hmm. Now, what does that next verse tells us here?
In 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight."
This is what Apostle Paul is relating to the church. You know, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our behavior should be in line with what the Word of God says. How we walk, how we handle, our manner of behavior should be by faith. Now, he tells us here in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that for we walk our behavior, our manner of behavior is by faith. Now he's not talking to a sinner or someone that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. He is speaking to the church. He's telling me that, and you that are born again, that we don't walk according to the things which we perceive with our natural ears and eyes. We walk according to what the Word of God says. Now, he says, for we walk by faith. Well, somebody asked a question. Well, what is faith? We talk about this spiritual force, but what is it? What is faith? And many people say, they ask that question, well, what is faith? But I want to conclude this 2 Corinthians 5:7 before we go into what is faith. We all read the verses of Scripture and we talk about certain things. You know, it's easy to read these things with a lack of understanding. And most of us do that. We don't meditate on the Word of God. We read it as if we are reading a novel. And what happened after that? And we quote it. But we quote it without an understanding. You know, the Bible tells us that out of all of your getting, you get an understanding. So the only one that's going to give me the understanding is the Holy Spirit. So it's obvious that he's not talking to someone that is not born again or perhaps unregenerated. He's talking to those that have been regenerated,
amen,
that have the Spirit of the living God. Well, you can have him as well if you become born again. No, so Paul says here that for we walk by faith and not by sight. So we don't walk according to the natural. You see, that's not how we walk. He says by faith and not by sight. Sight deals with the senses. Well, the five senses, you know, God has given us five senses as well for the outer man, because we're living in a natural world here. But the most important thing is that we are walking by that which we cannot perceive with our natural eyes. And that's exactly what faith is, so to speak. But I'm going to ask Minister Glory if she would read Hebrew 11.
And 1.
And yes. And
it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Well, I like to say it this way. I mean, we all have our ways of looking at what faith actually is. But I like to say faith is, it's a present reality. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You see, well, my faith that I have gives me the evidence of the thing that I'm hoping for. Amen. That's basically what it boils itself down to, because he says there, now faith, not tomorrow, but right now. Now faith is a present reality. Is a verb that is used to give us the understanding that faith right now is a substance of things hoped for. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Christ has not come yet. Well, I want to tell you, well, actually, he has not appeared yet, but he has come in his spirit in my life. Praise God, and I thank God for that. So faith is the substance. It's the title deed. Listen, it is something that, you know what a substance is? We have substance, praise God, to what the Word of God is saying. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, and faith is the evidence of things not seen. That means that we don't have what we see, but faith is that evidence. My God. You know, Minister Glory, many times that we're praying and we're asking God for certain things, we don't have it when we're asking him for it, and we know that, but by faith we've received it. You know, a lot of folks will say, well, what are you talking about? Well, the scriptures emphatically gives us that understanding, makes it clear that we don't have what we are asking for, but we know in the natural, but by faith we have it. Praise God. Yeah. We have it by faith.
You know, Pastor, in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it says, while we look not at things which are seen, but the things which are not seen.
Amen.
For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, they are eternal. So there is things that we see. It's not, we shouldn't be walking that way. We should be walking by things we don't see and believe that it will be done.
Well, it takes a person that is born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb in order to pursue that method of understanding, because first of all, this is virtually impossible for someone that is not born again. And this is what's happening. A lot of folks that are just in church. I'm not trying to castigate members of the body of Christ or even those that come inside the local fellowships. But I want to tell you today that, and I've seen it even in the fellowship that we have, you know, you just can't come and say, I love Jesus and I have faith and go about your business. Let me tell you something. Faith is important to us all. Many times we cry out to God, and we know that God has done everything that he's going to do for us. Praise God. So what it is that it's laid out. He is a faith God, and he only hear the cry of those that are exercising their faith, so to speak. Now, that might be a little outlandish there in terms of saying, well, he only hear those that are exercising faith. Well, the scripture tells us otherwise in terms of, you know, if you're genuinely crying out to God through a broken and contrite spirit, God will hear you.
Amen.
Now, you will exercise that faith. But the most important thing is that faith is important to us that are children of God. Praise the Lord. Children of God. And when we cry out to the Lord and ask him for things, we know that we don't have what we're asking for. But he's telling us that we are to believe that.
Amen.
We are to believe that we have. Because the scripture says, right now, faith is.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God. I have what I'm praying for. Mm-hmm. Faith is my evidence. And I hold on to faith until the manifestation of the reality of what I'm praying for come into natural existence.
Amen.
Now, I hope you understand what I'm talking about here. Because first of all, cry out to God and ask the Lord to heal us. Whatever it is that we are asking, we hold on to faith.
Yes.
We said, yes, by his stripes I'm healed. You don't have it right then and there. But the manifestation is forthcoming because it comes from the spirit.
Yes.
Into the flesh. The flesh is the last place where healing would show up. Your soul is right. Your spirit is the spirit of the living God. And your flesh exemplify what you have believed and trust in the Lord by faith.
Amen.
I trust that you're out there in radio land. I'm not trying to overemphasize certain things, but I just want to let you know, as a child of God, faith is important.
It is.
You can't be saved without faith, Minister Glory.
I know.
Amen.
But, you know, we want to please the Lord.
Yes.
Once we're born again. It says in 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, what does it say? Must believe. We must believe what he has done. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Praise God. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to say something, Minister Glory, and I just want to try to couple what you're talking about concerning the faith, because faith is important. But the scripture says without faith. Well, I want to tell you, as a child of God, we should not be without faith.
Exactly.
We should be walking by faith all the time.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
That's what we must believe.
Yes, we must believe.
When you come to him, you must believe.
Amen. And we can't just talk about faith, because a lot of times folks say, yeah, well, I have faith. But then what does the word of God tells us? Faith alone is dead.
That's true.
If you don't have no feet or action to the faith in terms of what you are speaking about, it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
James says faith without works is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Show me your faith and I'll show you my works by my faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful?
That is wonderful.
And faith is so important to us all. And I tell you, sometimes we get into a state of weariness in which we... at times it happens. Praise God, it happens to us all. I mean,
yes.
None of us are perfect.
Yes.
We're still in this natural world here. It's a fallen world, and sometimes things become so overwhelming until we forget who we are and whose we are and what we're doing, and we get weary.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We get weary.
Amen.
But, Minister Glory, you know, faith is important.
Faith is very important.
Praise God. Now, give us another verse of scripture here.
Well, you know, by grace, thank God for grace.
Amen.
For by grace, you're saved through what? Faith.
Through faith.
And that not of yourselves is a gift of God. That's all it is. A gift. His hands are open. All you have to do is just receive what he has done. All we're saying here in this broadcast, it takes faith to believe what God has done for you.
That's why the fight is between the Armenian and the Calvinistic viewpoints concerning that. But we're not going to get into that because that's not our primary reason why we are talking about the importance of faith. Faith is good. Faith is of God. God dealt every man a measure of faith. We build on that faith through the word of God. So we thank the Lord for what is happening and what is taking place here. I knew that once I embarked upon this important subject, which is faith is important, that I will not finish it or bring it to conclusion. Well, you have a Bible. The word of God is clear. All you need to do is look into what the word of God says and believe it. Faith is important. Praise God. Minister Glory, but I tell you, the only time we can even do anything is by faith.
Amen.
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 Because God honors faith in us all. Well, I don't like to conclude this broadcast without extending the opportunity where you can just cry out to God, those that are not born again, and ask the Lord to bless your soul. Praise God. So I'm going to ask Minister Glory if she would just extend that invitation to the love and the grace of God.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God. Grace and faith. Grace is the unmerited favor of God looking down toward failed humanity, and faith is looking up to receive what God has done. Well, I thank you all out there in Radio Land for tuning into the broadcast. I pray that next week, at the same time, you'll be available to hear what the Word of God is saying. God bless you all until the next broadcast.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida, 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.